It's Tuesday, 13th of March. It's time to get your gaming grin on with the Grincast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me is Gozogoz.
Hello.
Welcome to this episode of the Grincast, where it's just us two. So we'll get straight on to what have you been playing, Gozogoz?
I got Gotham Knights in a bundle, and I decided to play that. Check it out, and yeah, I got into it quite a bit. Spent a lot of hours on it. I'm quite pleased with it. It's very good. It's a shame that it's apparently underperformed. Yeah, I feel like they could expand on it and do DLCs or expansions or something.
Well, the good news is the next Batman game is going to be Suicide Squad, which is a game as a service, and it's basically Destiny.
Yeah, I heard something about that. I heard people weren't pleased with it.
No, because, like, Deadshot uses a gun, and Harley Quinn uses a gun, and King Shark uses a gun, and Captain Boomerang uses a gun. You know, the giant shark who should be, like, punching and eating people, and Captain Boomerang, who uses boomerangs in the comics, is just using guns.
Is Captain Boomerang actually a character that people care about?
In recent years, yes. Until 2005, no.
Didn't James Gunn just kill him off right away?
I don't remember.
In the film, I think he did.
I think he was in both the Suicide Squad films, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was in, like in the second movie, they show, like, a team that he's in, and they kill all members of that team off at the start of the film. And Captain Boomerang's there, and he gets killed.
Well, I know he was in Justice League when it showed The Flash. You know, that movie that's supposed to have been coming out over the last 4 years.
I don't know. Captain Boomerang just doesn't seem like an interesting character to me. I don't know why people would put him in a game. Oh, he can throw boomerangs. Okay. I'm pretty sure Link from Legend of Zelda throws boomerangs. Just use Link. Link is a character that never fucking speaks. He's much more, still much more interesting than Captain fucking Boomerang.
Right, well, as I say, Captain Boomerang died in the comics in, like, 2005. He was killed by Robin's father, while at the same moment he killed Robin's father, making Robin an orphan. This is Tim Drake, the good one. And he stayed dead until Blackest Night, which was DC Comics Gets Zombies.
Okay.
That was in 2009. He came back to life and had, like, energy boomerangs. Instead of throwing physical boomerangs, he just created these energy boomerangs. It was like that until 2011, when they rebooted with the New 52, and we never got a satisfying explanation for why he had energy boomerangs.
Why does he have boomerangs in the first place?
Because he's from Australia.
You say he has energy boomerangs, and I'm thinking, just move the fuck on. Like, you're back, just do something cool. Don't use boomerangs.
No, he had trick boomerangs, like some that wouldn't come back, and some that would explode, and
boomerangs that wouldn't come back. Yeah, that's a great fucking boomerang, man. I don't know. It's just called a throwing knife at this point. It's not a boomerang.
I think it's called a stick at that point. Anyway, Gotham Knights.
I think there was Batarangs in Gotham Knights, but I didn't see them. Those don't come back, right?
Sometimes. Depends on the game, depends on the abilities and equipment.
The only boomerang that I remember coming back was the Batman Returns, where it's like a computer-controlled boomerang. And you have boomerang vision, like Evil Dead vision, and then the dog catches it in Batman Returns, the film.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember that happening in one of the games.
Was there a Batman Returns game?
Yeah, there was a few. I wrote about all of the Batman movie tie-in for two articles on GameGrind.com.
I mean, of course, there was games for Batman Returns, because there was games for every fucking movie back then.
Yes.
Now not so much. Now no one wants to do that. But yeah, Gotham Knights is good. If it seems like it's your kind of thing, and like me, you don't give a fuck about Batman, but kind of find those other people that you never heard about kind of interesting, then yeah, just no Batman and no Captain Boomerang.
Well, if there's no Captain Boomerang, it's not worth it.
There's actually Captain's Boomerang in the game. Like a trophy that the Penguin has.
Yeah, I'd imagine they'll shove as many Easter eggs as possible in. Because why not?
Yeah. It's just kind of an item. Like, you get kind of an augmented vision, and you can look at some items and scan them, and it gives you some information about them. That kind of thing. You can do that in the game. It's pretty neat. Because it's also used... It also has a real purpose during gameplay.
So it's not just, ooh, you scanned Penguin's umbrella, first seen in Batman number 68.
Well, no.
Well, I recently played, as in the last few days, I've played Final Fantasy VII Remake. I played Final Fantasy VII when it came out on the PlayStation, and I remember enjoying it. I think I played it twice, in fact. Well, other than that, I've had no deep connection to the game or the world. I didn't play Crisis Core. I didn't play the remake of Crisis Core. Obviously, I haven't played Final Fantasy VII Remake until now. I might have watched the Final Fantasy VII movie once, but I figured that most people's positive reaction to it was because they loved game, the franchise, the mini franchise that it spawned. And no, turns out it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
I've been describing it as having shades of Yakuza, because you run around and get into fights, and there's tons of melodrama and kooky Japanese.
Well, to be fair, the original game also have some weird stuff in it.
Yeah, of course, and it came out before Yakuza, so the concept of kooky Japanese stuff was already there before Yakuza games were even thought of. But that's the only way I can really describe it from my experience of games. I'm sure there's people who could say, oh, it's like playing this, and just the best one I can come up with is Yakuza. And I thought that that using the way you use spells in fights is you have to do some physical attacks and wait for your active time battle meter to fill. And then you can press a button and select your spells or abilities and do one of those until your ATB meter fills again. I thought that would get frustrating. To be fair, it kind of is sometimes, because if you fire a fireball and it hits a piece of scenery, then you just wasted your opportunity to use a fireball.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like it could be annoying.
So far, I think I'm about 4 hours into the game, and I've done mainly side quests. Spoilers for Final Fantasy VII, but the game starts with you breaking into a power station and planting a bomb and it going off, and the power station basically exploding. In Final Fantasy VII, it's pretty explicit. You've gone down there, you've set the bomb has gone off, and all this destruction and people's lives that have been irrecoverably changed is down to your actions as a member of this terrorist group, Avalanche. Well, not so much in the remake. They change certain details, and it's not really your fault as either Cloud or Avalanche that this bomb has gone off and caused this amount of damage. And I think that's stupid.
Yeah, from what I heard about it, like, the story is pretty diluted, and it's not as strong as it was in the original. And you said that you're 4 hours in, and I thought, 4 hours in, you would be out of Midgard by that point, I think.
Yeah, in this, I believe the entire game takes place in Midgard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case. And that's, like, that's insane. I didn't play it myself, because, like, I saw gameplay of it, and it just seems to be out of filler. And, yeah, that's not great. The story doesn't seem as strong as it should be.
Right, yeah, I totally get that.
I think Sephiroth appears in the first 4 hours, doesn't he?
Sephiroth appears in the first 4 minutes. He's appeared like 12 times.
Yeah, it's completely different than how he appears in the original. It's a lot of like hints and mystery, and yeah, I'm not gonna spoil it, I guess, but yeah.
Well, it's all kind of vague at the start of Final Fantasy VII. There might be something more to this cloud person than he lets on, but like almost immediately he jumps off the train in the remake and he starts getting headaches and seeing things. And it's like, well, you're not burying the lead, are you?
Mm.
You're like getting with something is going on with this guy. No subtle hints or anything.
Yeah, I guess it's in part because the whole game takes place in Midgard and the game takes a lot of time to finish. But it's also like it seems like going the complete opposite way.
In comics, it would be decompressed storytelling where, hey, I've got a 22-page story, I'm going to spread it into 6 issues.
Mm.
That was a big thing in the early 2000s, especially with the comics like The Authority. Lots of double-page spreads of just scene changes and like 2-word balloons. It was crazy. You know what else is crazy? The amount of money that Microsoft wants to spend buying Blizzard Activision King. We did talk about it a while ago, and $68.7 billion they want to spend. The actual report on whether they're going to be allowed to do this is going to be available in the next few weeks, apparently. Yeah, they started this whole process in January 2022, and they were met with people saying, well, organizations saying, well, you're going to be too much of a monopoly, so we're going to investigate you. And Sony have kicked off, well, we're not going to be able to have Call of Duty. And Microsoft said, well, okay, you can have Call of Duty. Sony come back with, but you're going to put it on Game Pass and we're not going to be able to profit off of that. It's been a whole lot of back and forth while this whole, what was it, the European Commission. Microsoft have spoken to the European Commission regulators, and in a couple of weeks ago, they announced that they had secured a 10-year agreement with Nintendo to bring Call of Duty to Nintendo platforms, as well as to Nvidia with their GeForce Now streaming service. And Sony have basically said, we don't want that, even though apparently it's supposed to be better terms than what they currently get with Activision. Honestly, it seems a bit childish to me, but I expect if I say that, PlayStation fans will have a go at me for suggesting that.
All of this, like, isn't games industry magical? Doesn't that make you want to work in the industry? Like, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, you could be a gaming lawyer and work for Sony. the thing that sticks out to me is Sony complaining that Microsoft is going to have exclusives. So does that mean that Sony are planning on bringing God of War to Microsoft platforms?
Oh.
Are we going to get Little Big Planet on the Xbox? Because probably not. They complain about exclusives when the whole reason they have a platform is because people love their exclusives. Like Nintendo, people love Nintendo exclusives, so the Switch is popular. Sony have PlayStation exclusives, so their platform is popular. Call of Duty is a multi-platform game. And they're being told, yeah, you can still have it. It'll be the same version as the Xbox version. Even though Sony argued, yeah, but you could release a patch later on that makes our version buggy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That seems like a lot of work to me.
I mean, they have money. I mean, ultimately, it's not about Call of Duty. It's about the money that Call of Duty makes. So if, like, if they want to spend a little bit of money to make Sony's version of Call of Duty buggy, like, it's a drop in a bucket for them, and they have everything to gain. I'm not sure if that's something that they would actually do, if that's something that happened in the past, maybe. When it comes to money, I could see them do that. On the other hand, maybe Sony would make their own Call of Duty then. But
yeah, but if you make your own Call of Duty, people are not going to buy it because it's not Call of Duty.
Yeah, I also thought about that.
Right, well, over the years, I've written a couple of articles on GameGrid.com looking at the amount of money Activision makes, because I don't play Activision or Blizzard or King Games, so this merger doesn't affect me as a consumer in the slightest. But in 2019, Call of Duty Modern Warfare made $600 million in 3 days. They sold 12 million copies of this multi-platform game, while their CEO is making hundreds of thousands of dollars in bonuses alone. Activision can make $1 billion in 2 months, whereas Square Enix in the 2021 financial year made just over $2 billion. So even though Microsoft are spending $68.7 billion, they just have to release two CODs and they've made their money back, especially if they're bringing it to Switch as well, so you can imagine that'll bring even more players to the table, because I believe that Call of Duty doesn't have very many Nintendo releases.
Call of Duty Mobile? Is that a thing?
Call of Duty Mobile is not on Switch.
Oh, I just mean that would probably bring a lot of money.
Call of Duty Ghosts on the Wii U in 2013. That was the time Nintendo saw a Call of Duty game. Call of Duty Mobile has been going since 2019 and has generated $480 million. Sorry, it generates $480 million a year, apparently.
Well, it sounds like Sony might not be worried for no reason. And, I mean, I guess it makes sense that Call of Duty brings in so much money. I would be curious to know how much money some of EA's IPs make in the grand scheme of things.
You mean The Sims 4 with its 40 different packs?
Is that an EA game? Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because EA, like, I don't think they release anything original anymore. It's like Battlefield, it's Need for Speed, it's FIFA, Madden, stuff like that.
Oh, the sports games bring in plenty of money, especially FIFA.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like kind of makes you appreciate those other big companies like Square Enix or Capcom, for example. They don't just release the same games over and over. In comparison, they put in effort. Even if they like use their old IPs, they try to do something with them.
Yeah, Monster Hunter Rise is quite a different game to Monster Hunter World. It's not Monster Hunter World 4.
I mean, even like Resident Evil 4 Remake doesn't seem like a cash grab, because they are actually remaking it. Like, it's based on a game that's already been out, but yeah, they are completely updating it. And, like, they have some new IPs at the same time, and they are working on Dragon's Dogma 2 at the moment also. Like, compare that to goddamn Call of Duty. Just release the same game again with some tweaks. and it brings in so much money. I'm not saying that making a Call of Duty takes no effort, but it's definitely at this point they have it. They have most of those games just uses a formula that they refined over and over and over. Like, it's a first-person shooter, goddammit. It doesn't, like, you know how everything is supposed to work by now.
Battlefield, the latest one, tried to innovate with its grappling hooks and stuff, and people didn't want to know. It may have also been a bad game, I didn't play it.
I didn't hear about the grappling hook.
Well, that's the only thing that made me want to play it. But then I arranged to play the beta, the open beta, with someone, and then they said, oh, can't do it tonight, and then went in the game with someone else. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to get to play this then. Even though the formula is, as you say, it's the same thing every time, basically, for Call of Duty, they're making 500 million in the release weekend. That's basically guaranteed, which is just silly to me.
Yeah, I think maybe everyone should switch to that formula. Like, every single company should have a Call of Duty, should have a game that they just changed a few things and they release a sequel. Well, I guess Capcom had Mega Man at some point.
Well, the aforementioned Electronic Arts, they have their sports titles, which are the same thing.
No, I guess it's EA and Activision.
As long as you can convince your players that they need to play the latest game with their friends, then that's where the success lies. That's why there's too many games going for game as a service. But the thing is, if there's, you can't make a game as a service to try and tap into the Call of Duty crowd without being better than Call of Duty. If you're not better than Call of Duty and bigger than Call of Duty, then why would they jump ship?
I think the problem with games as a service is that there's a stigma to the words games as a service at this point, and there's a good amount of people that don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't know the logistics of that, but I discussed it with someone recently that it might be better to release a game and instead of making it game as a service, release DLCs for it, and people might be more inclined to play that game. Or just release sequels over and over. I don't know. Seems to work.
Yep, unless you're Valve, then you only release one sequel and that's it.
Well, they still didn't release the sequel to Steam.
Steam 2.
Steam 2 Part 1.
And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Gozigoz.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Greencast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge. And of course, check out our writings on GameGreen.com. And until next time, game on.